Welcome to Equipped, a podcast by Connection Church. Equipped is a conversation about multiplying gospel community and fueling spiritual growth. We have one clear goal, to equip leaders to multiply. We want to help people follow Jesus, make disciples, lead small groups, and plant churches. My name is Austin, and I'll be leading you through today's conversation. Let's get equipped. I was talking recently with some college students. I got a chance to show up to a Greek life worship night, which was really cool that there's some students in our church who are a part of Greek life at Georgia Southern and passionate about being witnesses for the gospel of Jesus there in their sororities, their fraternities. And so they are initiating, planning, and executing a worship night. They just started. This is their first one, and they hope to do more in the future. But they invited me to come be a part of it and kind of do a Q&A thing. And one of the questions that was asked is, how do I keep my faith while I'm in college? Or how do I keep really a vibrant faith and not fall victim to the temptations of this world or just to hypocrisy or to being a lukewarm Christian? How do I stay a vibrant follower of Jesus? Phenomenal question. And so I gave a few points, you know, a few things that hopefully were helpful. But one of them stuck out to me, and it was the one that, you know, after I left there that night, I go home, and I just couldn't escape this one point because I just felt like God gave it to me, and I started thinking about how it applies to the rest of our church, like not just college students. What does it mean for my life? What does it mean for your life? And so I want to spend just a minute talking about the word conviction. One of the points that I told these college students, I said, if you're going to make it through college as a follower of Jesus, and not just exist, but thrive as a follower of Jesus, you're going to have to determine your convictions. Determine your convictions. And I really believe that to be true. You have to do that. And I believe that comes after you've identified your purpose and, you know, why are you here on this earth and the purpose of life in general. So I don't think it's the first thing you need. I don't think it's the only thing you need, but I think you have to determine your convictions. And so I got to thinking about, what does conviction mean for me? What does it mean for you? And there's some nuance to conviction that I find personally fascinating. And so that's kind of where I want to go today. There's probably a lot more we could say about conviction, but there's a specific nuance to it that was sticking out to me. And so that's where I want to go today. So let me ask this question to begin us. Do you live by conviction? Do you live by conviction? Jordan talked about this a little bit this past Sunday in his message to our church as he was talking about the Bible and its role in our life, and how do we come to trust the Bible as authoritative? But I think this question about conviction is powerful, because conviction, really just kind of at its simplest form, conviction means convinced. Convinced. I am convinced of something, and that becomes a conviction in my life. And so my question for you today is, what are you so convinced of that nothing or no one can pull you away from it? What are you so convinced of that nothing or no one can pull you away from it, can distract you from it? I mean, it is set in stone in your life. People get convinced or convicted about a lot of different things, about ideas, about you know, things sometimes that don't really matter, opinions, right? Conspiracy theories, like people become so convinced of these things, they bet their life on it, right? And that's fine. I mean, go do that, I guess. But really, what about faith? Are there things about faith that you are convinced of? And man, you are not wavering on this. That's a conviction in your life. I'm convinced, personally, that there is a God who has created all of this, including you and I, and he is faithful to fulfill his promises. I'm convinced of that. I am convicted about that. I'm convinced that when people follow the teachings of Jesus and live under his lordship, they live better lives. Not always pain-free lives. In fact, we're promised that life will be difficult and there will be trials and tribulations. Not always, you know, a life that's easy, but their lives are better. I'm convinced of that. And here's what I've learned about convictions. Those are convictions to me. And here's what I've learned about convictions. There are these kind of big, like meta-level convictions about my beliefs. Beliefs about God, beliefs about who he is and how he reveals himself to us, beliefs about theology, doctrine. I'm convicted and convinced about some of those things. But I am also convinced that God will often and frequently, if you will stay near to him and abide in him, that he will give personal, unique convictions to specific people for specific seasons. Now, this only comes through spending time with him, through getting to know his voice, from listening to him, through staying in his word, becoming familiar with how he speaks. But he will, whether it's through an audible voice, that's probably not a familiar interaction for many of us. I don't think I've ever heard the audible voice of God. But he gives these kind of yearnings, or he gives these drawings in our spirit at a deep level of, man, we're just like, man, that's God speaking to me. But he gives these convictions that are unique to the season of life that we're in right now, or unique just to my own personhood. Maybe in the specific job that you have right now, God is asking you to be a beacon of light and hope to the people around you. I mean, obviously, I think that's always we should be that as Christians, but maybe you've noticed that it's a unique need for the people around you, that someone needs to step up and be a beacon of light and hope to those around you. And God is convicting you that that is your unique role and purpose for this unique time that he has you in. Maybe you're a mom and you sense that God has given you this unique conviction to pray for the school that your children attend. I mean, it's like a burning thing inside of you, and you're going, okay, so every Monday morning at 9 o'clock, I'm going to spend an hour praying over the school, the teachers, the faculty. I'm going to just like drench this place in prayer. That's a unique conviction that God has given you. I want to read to you an Old Testament passage of scripture that you want to talk about unique. I think it's a unique scripture. And to me, it highlights a conviction point. And so it's found in 1 Kings chapter 13. And I'm going to read verse 6 through 24. Verse 6 through 24. It says this: "Then the king said to the man of God, 'Intercede with the Lord, your God, and pray for me that my hand may be restored.'" So he has this injury and he prays. He says, "Man of God, will you please intercede for me and pray that my hand would be restored?" "So the man of God interceded with the Lord, and the king's hand was restored and became as it was before. The king said to the man of God, 'Come home with me for a meal, and I will give you a gift.'" Sounds like a pretty good offer, just a nice gesture. "But the man of God answered the king and says this: 'Even if you were to give me half of your possessions, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread or drink water here. For I was commanded by the word of the Lord, you must not eat bread or drink water or return by the way you came.' So he took another road and did not return by the way he had come to Bethel." So this man of God was convicted about, this is what God told me to do, and I don't care what you say or what you offer me, I'm sticking to what God told me to do. Pretty interesting. Let's keep reading. Verse 11. "Now, there was a certain old prophet living in Bethel whose sons came and told him all that the man of God had done there that day. They also told their father what he had said to the king. Their father asked them, which way did he go? And his sons showed him which road the man of God from Judah had taken. So he said to his son, saddle the donkey for me. And when they had saddled the donkey for him, he mounted it and rode after the man of God. He found him sitting under an oak tree and asked, are you the man of God who came from Judah? I am, he replied. So the prophet said to him, this man of God, come home with me and eat. So the same invitation, come home with me and eat. And the man of God said, I cannot turn back and go with you, nor can I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. I have been told from the word of the Lord, you must not eat bread or drink water there or return by the way that you came. So once again, the man of God sticks to the conviction that he has of what God uniquely told him to do. Then, verse 18, the old prophet answered, I too am a prophet as you are. And an angel said to me, by the word of the Lord, bring him back with you to your house so that he may eat bread and drink water. But the prophet was lying to him. So the man of God returned with him and ate and drank in his house. And while they were sitting at the table, the word of the Lord came to the old prophet who had brought him back. He cried out to the man of God who had come from Judah. This is what the Lord says. You have defied the word of the Lord and have not kept the command that the Lord your God gave you. You came back, you ate bread, you drank water in the place where he told you not to eat or drink. Therefore, your body will not be buried in the tomb of your ancestors. When the man of God had finished eating and drinking, the prophet who had brought him back saddled his donkey for him. And as he went on his way, a lion met him on the road and killed him, and his body was left lying on the road with both the donkey and the lion standing beside it. So, this man of God had a conviction that God had told him, do not go out of your way, do not eat or drink, do not go away from this point. And he bent on his convictions, and it ended up costing him his life. So, let me ask you the question. What conviction has God given you that you must not get distracted from? Maybe it's a personal, unique conviction in your life, like some of the ones we've already talked about. Maybe God convicted you 6 months ago about the amount of time that you're spending on your phone compared to the time that you're spending in His Word, but you've relaxed on that. But God never let you off the hook for it. You've relaxed, but that wasn't because God relaxed. It was the fact that you relaxed. So here's the nuanced thing that I think God was kind of pressing on my heart to share from the story. There's a danger here from the story. And similarly, in our lives, it sneaks up and it takes many people out. Like I said, there are universal truths in Scripture that establish our convictions on life. But God often gives personal convictions that are just for you, not for anyone else. It's specifically what He is calling you to. And these are powerful. They're often unique assignments. They're ways that God's guiding you into His purpose for your life. But they are incredibly difficult because they are often not shared by other people. They're unique to you. And it's like God has uniquely spoken into your life and said, hey, here's what I want for you right now. And so that's why sometimes many people live without these personal convictions, because they don't stay near to the Lord to hear what are these things? What are the personal convictions that God's asking me to carry? But if you're not careful, because they're unique to you and personal to you, you will relax on them or even dismiss them because no one else has that same conviction. It feels like just you. But I am convinced that a sign of maturity is not just that you're obedient to the universal convictions that He calls all of Christians to obey and follow, but that you hear from the Lord on what are the unique convictions that He's asking you to carry. That's a sign of spiritual maturity, that you're sensitive and that you're aware of what those are. So back to the story we read. God uniquely spoke to this man and told him, you must not eat bread or drink water or return by the way that you came. These were the unique instructions for him. I feel like I've said unique 1,000 times in this podcast. But it was personal to him, not anybody else. Okay? God didn't give this to anybody else, just him. and he passes the first test. He does good. You know, he tells the king, nope, I'm not doing it. Then the prophet comes, and at first he says, nope, not doing it. But then the prophet pushes him a little bit, and he tells him a lie. He says, no, I'm a prophet too, blah, 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 blah. And it feels kind of, honestly, a little bit of like a twisted story that the prophet would do this, but he basically is putting him to a test. Like, how certain and how strong will the man of God stay to his convictions? And here is the danger for you and I. As I read the story, it jumped out to me. The danger is that when you get around familiar people that you're comfortable with, those are often the people that you tend to relax your convictions around the most. You see, the man of God was probably comfortable around a prophet. I mean, they're both believers. They're both godly people, right? They're both trying to listen to the voice of God. And yet, when he got around the prophet, that's when he was most susceptible to bending or relaxing on his convictions. And it ended up costing him his life. So the danger for you and I is that we do the same. Let me give you some examples. Well, this person in my small group, I mean, they really love Jesus, and I mean, they drink alcohol, so maybe it's cool for me too. When really, maybe God's convicted you about that in your life. Well, this person in my small group, I mean, they miss church twice a month because they're going on family vacations, and family vacations, that's a good thing, and they're good people, and you know, if it's okay for them, maybe it's okay for me. But what about the conviction that God has given you to make church a priority in your life and in your family's life? You see, it's oftentimes the people that we're most comfortable with, those are the people that we tend to relax our convictions around. I remember when I was in college, it was a big time for me to determine my convictions. I think that's probably why it's important for me to speak to college students about it. But I remember this kind of unique one for me. And that is, I was really into rap music when I was in college. I don't know, some of you may find that to be surprising. I was really into rap music. And I was growing a good bit spiritually. God was doing some amazing things in my life. And I'll never forget when God said, it's time for you to make some changes in the music you listen to. And I was like, oh, but God, it's just music. And, you know, the old, like, I don't listen to the lyrics. You know, okay, I'll get the edited version, all this kind of stuff. And he said, no. This is going to change who you are. This is going to change you at a deep level. I want you to change the kind of music you listen to. And I'll never forget the shift I made when every time I'd get into my vehicle, I would play worship music. And it was weird. I got to tell you, I think I was the only guy who was doing this. I mean, none of my friends were doing. I remember getting into friends' cars, and they were listening to the rap music and blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, you know, that's their thing. But when I get into my car, I'm only going to play worship music. And that meant when I brought other people into my car as well. And that was a conviction that God gave me that wasn't for anybody else. It was uniquely for me. And it ended up being what I think to be one of the most significant kind of catapults in my faith journey specific to that time of my life. That was a unique conviction. So here's what I want to challenge you with. Don't dismiss what God has told you because he hasn't told someone else the same thing. Maybe he's convicting you about something in your life. Don't dismiss it because he hasn't told somebody else the same thing. You have to let God speak to you and give you personal convictions. And then you have to develop the maturity to obey him in that, even if it's not what he's given to somebody else. Even if it's just personally for you. And I think if you want to talk about kind of next level maturity, next level to this, is you have to be careful not to put your unique convictions, the specific things that God's led you to, on other people. Like, know the difference between what all of us Christians are called to and the unique obedience that God's calling you to in this specific time of your life because of your specific story and the things that he's trying to grow you in. Just let the fact that you listen and follow the voice of God and what he's leading you to, let that be your witness to others. You don't have to push your convictions on them a lot of times if it's a personal kind of unique thing that he's doing. Some convictions are personal and some convictions are seasonal, but all require ruthless commitment to uphold them. So my final question, my final kind of challenge for you today. Is there a conviction that God is asking you to carry that you keep resisting? Maybe because nobody else is carrying it. Maybe because it doesn't seem like a big deal. Maybe because you're all alone in this. But is it unique to what God's asking you to do? He's asking you to carry a conviction, but you're resisting it for whatever reason. And I just want to encourage you and challenge you. Maybe today is the day that you need to pick that conviction back up and say, okay, God, you've asked this of me, so I'm going to move forward with it and trust that obeying you, regardless of what everybody else is doing, obeying you will lead to much better fruit than just doing whatever everybody else is doing. So live by conviction, and I believe you will see greater things to come in your faith journey.